each time we've been working through this study of biblical masculinity, we've been starting out looking at a song that communicates something concerning men, and this one's entitled Real Men by a guy named Todd Rundgren. Listen how he starts off this song. So Rundgren's getting across the point that things change when you are a child to when you become a real man. And things didn't matter, but now they're starting to matter and they're starting to make sense. And so we come to this calling of men from God, where he calls us once again to work, and the whole idea of discipling children. And we go back to the passage of scripture in Genesis 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And so this mandate, this masculine mandate, is given to fathers. And Genesis 2:15, our garden is our home. And a man is called to work the hearts of his children, that they might become fertile soil for the gospel and have devotion to Christ. And so that is the calling. And discipline does not replace discipling. So we can get mad, we can raise our voice when our children aren't doing exactly things the way we want them to do, but that isn't discipling. That may control behavior for a little while, but at a certain point they grow up, they grow older. And so how do I work the soil of the heart of my child so that they're receptive to the gospel and to a life that's devoted to Christ? We have no control over their ultimate decisions, but their picture or the idea of what a father should be would have impact, hopefully, on their reception to at least listening. So this man is not just called to work, but a man is called to keep and protect his children from the influences of sin that are in the world and in their hearts, so that all this effort to draw that young person's heart to Christ would not be swept away. And so that structure does not replace relationship. And sometimes you'll hear people say, quantity time isn't as important as quality time, but they spell love T-I-M-E. And so how are we communicating to our children that you are important, you have value to me, and it's because of what we're investing in? And so we come to a passage of scripture, Proverbs 23:26, that basically is emphasizing the fact of give me your heart. It says this, it says, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. And so when we say, it's not that line where he says, do as I say and not as what I do. I'm literally living this stuff. I'm the one leading going to church. I'm the one leading showing love and respect to mom. I'm the one that is giving people, or at least my children, the idea that these things are important. So the purpose of parental discipling is ministering to children's hearts so as to gain a relationship of love with them and to have a shared heart bond of faith in Jesus Christ. Because why would they buy from us if we aren't showing it? Why would they buy into it? It's almost like I'm a Chevy salesman, but I'm trying to sell Pontiacs. And so they're watching us. They're seeing, do you love this person, Jesus, that you want me to love? So how do I start doing that? Well, I give them my heart. So that's the giving of our hearts. And children must gain from us what they most desire, our affection, our approval, our attention, our involvement, and our time. And so they see that, and then it makes them realize, oh, I have a value to my dad. And I understand that a child has a deep need for a sense of belonging to something bigger, that they see the importance of my walk with the Lord and my love for family, and that we're part of something bigger than just ourselves. So basically, there's four ways to reach a child's heart. And we take the time to plant seeds of faith, seeds of truth, seeds of goodness. We have hopes and dreams. We have the ability and confidence to know and serve God. And then we are the man that God is calling us to be, and ultimately that they would be the man or woman that God is calling them to be. So how does that work? Well, first of all, do you read God's word together? You now have an opportunity to do that. At a young age, you can do that. Maybe it's now going to be a grandchild. Are you going to read God's word with them? And then praying together for them and with them. And then working together. And that takes time. I remember times where my dad, maybe out of frustration, wanted to get something done. And so instead of taking the time to teach me how to do those things, oh, he'd just rather do them. Granted, that's done quickly, but later there's no fruit of the fact that I had learned that skill. And so take the time to work with somebody. And lastly, to play together, to get out the board games or the video game or whatever, that they would see that you could do that. Or even throwing a softball back and forth. Are you willing to do that? There's so many different ways we can play together. So those things, reading the word, praying together, working together, and then playing together. And then through those different seasons, you have one goal. You move from authority to a place of influence. Because at a certain point, like I said, they're moving on. And it's like our author Philip says, the ultimate reason that we desire our children to give us their hearts is so that we can guide their hearts to Jesus. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're hoping for.